and you want to be way prepared. You want to have reached out. You want to know their executive assistant. You want to know their PR team. You want to be opted in on his newsletter. You want to be following him on all his social accounts. And you want to have people on your team whose full responsibility is to track your Dream 100's list of everything they're doing.
This is The Fighting Entrepreneur, the podcast dedicated to entrepreneurs looking to change the world. Learn how to start, build, and scale a business in today's highly competitive business environment. Here's your host, The Fighting Entrepreneur, Anik Singhal.
What's up, you crazy fighting entrepreneurs? Guess who it is? Your favorite person in the whole wide world, Anik Singhal, back with another powerful, powerful episode today. I'm really excited. Today's episode is totally selfish. 100% selfish. It's for me. I'm doing this. No rounds, no nothing. It is a full-blown consultation session that I would have otherwise had to pay thousands of dollars for, but I'm not going to have to now because you get to listen. And listen, it's going to be, I have a sneak peek of the strategy we're going to talk about today because I met this person face-to-face recently, and we're going to dive deeper into it. It's exciting. It's new. It's unique. You've not heard it before. It's cutting edge, and I'm excited. So what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about how to make the Fighting Entrepreneur podcast the biggest, baddest, most awesome podcast. Get it out there everywhere. Get it so big that when I release a new episode, I just hound on the industry. Like, you will know that The Fighting Entrepreneur is out. You have to watch it. Otherwise, I'll just follow you. But here's the best part. Not only will that grow the podcast, not only will that bring in all these amazing listeners into Learn, into our family, into Learn Nation, but there's a strategy apparently where other people will pay for it. All of it. So I get all this branding for free. So today is all about branding. I'm bringing on to you this podcast a brand expert, a personal brand building expert, works with the tops of the tops, the who's of who, okay? But before I bring him on and before I bring this excitement up, I got to pitch you. What's going on? Learn, are you a member or not? 380,000 members climbing our way to 10 million. Some amazing features coming out. This is the transformational home for entrepreneurs. If you want to be able to connect, if you want to facilitate relationships, you want to get education, content, you got to get in right now. Go to LURN.com. It's free. Look, I keep saying this. The government is not going to save us. They're not going to save the world. They're not going to help the world. I've been saying it way before this pandemic, and I say it more now than ever. Entrepreneurs are going to get us there. Be a part of the family. Okay, join the revolution or stand by and watch us walk right by you so you get to be a part of it right now. LURN.com. And of course, AnikPodcast.com. There's a brand new website coming out. Man, am I excited. Finally going to have a website worthy of 2020 or even worthy of 2000 for that matter. Searchable, categorized, beautiful. Hopefully you guys will binge watch a ton of episodes and that'll skyrocket our rankings. But right now, if you go to iTunes and leave a review every week, I pick random people who have left reviews fresh, new, and they win stuff. Cash, Learn Gear, calls with me. So go to AnikPodcast.com. Go to any of the platforms out there. Leave a review. Help us get the message out about this amazing podcast. And then watch us over this year, the rest of the year. You're going to see the podcast just take off, especially because of what our guest today, Mark Black, is going to teach me and in turn teach you. Now, this guy is crazy. He just turned 30, but check this out. In his 20s, not only did he do over 8 figures online, he's done. He has interviewed over 1,000 millionaires, billionaires, celebrities, and thought leaders. Over 1,000. Interviewing people is not easy. It takes a lot of energy. In his 20s. And he's been interviewed 1,000 times. The guy just sits on interviews, all right? He is the lead host of a TV show called Business Rockstars, which is syndicated to over 50 million households. It's on Amazon Prime. It's in planes. It's in hotels. So this person knows something or the other about, I want to get the Fighting Entrepreneur syndicated on these places. What has he done? He's going to reveal it today. Now, I met him recently right before this lockdown. Literally a week before the lockdown, he flew down to the Learn Center to attend our event called WebinarCon. Got a chance to sit down with him privately in a room. And you know, I'm going to be very honest. I'm going to fess up. He came and someone said, hey, he wants to talk about personal branding. And I'm like, oh, blah, personal branding sounds boring, right? But I was like, okay, you know, he comes highly recommended from someone I really trust. So let's sit down. We start talking and he starts talking and saying things. I'm like, wow, okay. Really? Wow. And when I have those moments, being in the industry for 17 years, you just know, okay, this is someone we need to get in front of the audience. So I'm really excited. I purposely have not spoken to him since then about this strategy so that we can have an organic conversation on this podcast. So without further ado, everyone, help me welcome to today's episode, the freaking branding genius, marketing genius, Mark Lack. Mark, thanks so much for being here, man.
Thanks for having me on, brother.
Oh man, it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know what this is like your 1,030th interview, but we're going to make sure.
My team keeps track for me after this many, I've officially lost count.
I would too. But of course, it's going to be your best one. So before we start, now we're probably not going to do rounds this time like I typically do, because I really want to have this as a free flow consultation session. So thank you for agreeing to do that.
Yeah.
But we are going to abide by the tradition here at the Fighting Entrepreneur. So Mark, if you could raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Mark Lack. Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
To tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
To tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
And reveal all my branding secrets.
And reveal all my branding secrets.
Sweet. All right. So let's set the stage. Mark, become very obsessed with my podcast lately. And I want to grow it. And I want to grow it, like really grow it. Tim Ferriss is sitting up there too high, too pretty. All right. He doesn't know who I am right now, but Tim, I'm coming for you. I want to knock him off. Number one on the entrepreneurship, number one on the business podcast. Okay. So to be fair, I want to be in the top 10. I think this podcast is amazing. I think it provides a tremendous amount of value. I think it belongs there. And we've already achieved such great things without me trying. I've put like very little focus of marketing on it. And now we're starting to. So we've started to bring on some experts, and I'm really starting to get very serious about the growth of this podcast. But I feel like there needs to be like that oomph, something I do, right? Like doing it the way everyone else is doing it, just syndicate a podcast, publish it on social media, send an email. Like I get that, that's fine. But there's got to be that like thing that just takes it off. And I've had some ideas. They're a lot of work. And so I abandoned them. Like I've had some really cool ideas about doing these seasons, doing a reality TV show through it. And it's just like, wow, you know, I have a whole company, like multiple companies to run also. So I don't want to do all that. But I still want to get this thing up there. Personal brand, I'm very happy with my brand. Of course, everyone would love a bigger brand. I wouldn't say no to it, but I would definitely say like my podcast, that my child, like that's what I really want to see go up there. So you've got some cool stuff and you know people that do amazing things. Like, I mean, you know, like Lewis House and all these people you work with that have these massive podcasts. So I'm going to turn it over to you right now. Let's go. I mean, what do we do? How do we get this podcast to where it needs to be? And not have to pay for it, not have to do a lot of work for it.
So the first thing I like to start with is figuring out who is the audience that we're speaking to. It's just like you would with anything, starting a business or doing a marketing campaign. A show is no different. Who is the audience and what is the problem or problems that we're going to be helping them with on the show? They got to have a reason to tune in. It could be entertainment. Maybe they're bored and we're going to give them a more fun, creative, playful way to listen to these subjects. Or it could be that we're actually going to help them solve a problem from an education perspective. Maybe you're going to do like this. You're going to lay out the path to different ways to grow your business. So the first question would be, who's your audience and what are the problems we're helping them solve on the show?
Yeah. So new entrepreneur, someone who I call them dreamers, but not the way politically they would be called dreamers, but dreamers are people that have, you know, my audience is someone who is in their 30s, 40s, 50s, it's not like they don't have money. It's not like they don't have success. They have jobs. They're doing all right. They're just completely unfulfilled. They're tinkering with this idea of being an entrepreneur, right? And they're turning to the internet. They want to start their own business, but they're not the kinds that are going to go to Silicon Valley, invent like the next big, you know, thing and raise a ton of money. They're the kinds of entrepreneurs that are going to start an e-commerce store. They're going to start an email business. They're going to start an Amazon business. They're going to start these side gigs. And so that's the entrepreneur that we really speak to. And on our interviews and on our podcast episodes, we're always outlining new business models, marketing strategies, monetization strategies, ways to make money on the side. So the side hustle entrepreneur, looking for where to start, looking for that little spark and hopefully make the leap to being a full-time entrepreneur.
Okay. So that's the audience and the problem that you're solving at the same?
Pretty much. Yeah. Giving them business models and ways to make money on the side. That's
okay. And so now that we have an idea of who the audience is, the problem that we're trying to solve, now we just want to figure out the distribution network. So as you already kind of alluded to in the intro, you know, my show, Business Rockstars, I've been lucky enough to have incredible, unique distribution because of the partners that I have in the company. And, you know, they've been able to get us on Amazon Prime and airplanes. So when you're flying on, you know, Delta Airlines, you can watch it on the touch screen. At the airport, you could be sitting down eating a sandwich and see it on the screen in the restaurant. It's on radio. It's in, you know, regular television at home as well on local networks. And so it's very unique. Most people's podcasts are just distributed online. But the big thing that I did when I, as a partner in Business Rockstars, is I've always said, we need to get this thing distributed on social media. So for me, social media has been a huge element to really focus on for a show. Even though I've had these very cool, unique distribution networks, I think what makes social media even cooler is that I can see 1 million people watch the episode. I can see 100,000 people watch the episode. I can see the likes, comments, shares, and it feels like I have a bet. Like, I don't know if people are watching my show on an airplane. I don't know if people are watching my show on Amazon Prime, because social media has comments. People could DM me. People could buy my stuff a lot easier. So that leads me to you. Where do you want the distribution to be? Primarily on social media, or do you want those unique distribution networks?
I don't know. So I think right now I would think mostly social media, because for us, we can retarget those people. We have programs. We can get to them. We can monetize them. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't love to be on some other channels. But I would say dominate one at a time. I'm more of a focused mind type of person. So, you know, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn.
Good. We'll start with social YouTube. Because social media to me is the best place to start. And you nailed one of the biggest reasons. You can target your audience and you can retarget them with pixels. So if they watched your interview with you and Tony Robbins, then you can show them anything you want, another interview, an invitation to your book, to your summit, to your webinar. And so I like social media. So we'll say that your primary focus currently for distribution is going to be on social media. The next thing is, you know the problem that you're going to solve. You know the audience that has that problem that we're going to be speaking to, and we know the channel that they're hanging out on and we're going to distribute. So now, because it's a podcast, you're obviously interviewing guests. Who are the guests? And I like to call them, you know, the Dream 100, you know, Dream 100 clients, Dream 100 partners. In this case, Dream 100 interview podcast guests. So let's just say, if you want, we can put some hypothetical names on the list, and then people can see you use them hypothetically now, and then go and secure them. Or we can just say, you know, random name Bob, and we'll say Bob's a big celebrity.
No, let's do real names.
Cool.
I'm taking notes, man. Shoot. People might hear me typing. It is what it is. I'm really excited about this. So you got your Lewis House. Cool. You got Tony Robbins, Simon Sinek. Awesome. You know, I'm trying to think also like entrepreneurially. I want to go after, like, I know this is crazy, but I'm going to put them on here. Elon Musk, like some big names of just entrepreneurs that have done
big
things.
That's the point. The Dream 100 should be Dream 100. It shouldn't be, oh, well, you know, I'm going to go and get this person who is a really big name, but they're also like my friend. So, you know, if you do have that, you know, if they have that, great. But we'll make the assumption that, you know, the people you're listing off, you can't just call Elon Musk, or you can't just call Tony Robbins yet. And a show is so incredible for building relationships. Like, I was just talking to my wife about this earlier. It's like, a show is one of those things that for anybody tuned in right now, You're watching me and Anik have a conversation about his show, but I want you to understand that regardless of the success, neither one of us were Silver Spoon. Neither one of us started with a show. Neither one of us started with an audience. Neither one of us started with millions of dollars online. A show, for me at least, I'm speaking for myself now, has helped me do 8 figures online. I know it's going to help me do 9 figures. And it's the most ninja indirect way to build relationships. So, like, Anik might not even really want to interview Elon Musk, but he knows that the only way he can meet with Elon most likely would be to guarantee an interview with a bunch of views on it. And then they interview each other. And what's the best way to build rapport with somebody? Spend 1 hour talking all about them. And so, you know, right? Like, it's almost weird if you talk to somebody and you're connecting for the first time and you spend 1 hour only talking about them. It seems one-sided, but on an interview, it's supposed to be that way. I'm supposed to talk just about you and make you feel great. And then it leaves the guest feeling amazing. In this case, Anik interviews Elon. Elon leaves feeling amazing. He got lots of attention and value for whatever it is that he wanted to be on the show for. And now Anik has built a relationship with Elon or Tony Robbins, so that down the road, if he wanted to reach back out, he would always remember that amazing interview. So I think interviews are like more than, we'll talk about all the different ways that a show can, I call it 10 points of leverage. A show can help you with 10 massive things in your business, in your life. And one of them is networking. So we'll talk about how a show, even if you have these misconceptions about a show, I'm going to teach you in this conversation 10 different ways that a show can help you elevate your success, your impact, and your influence online. 10. One of them is growing your network. So indirectly, you might be like, look, I don't even like having a show. I don't even want a show. But after listening to this episode, you're going to see 10 different ways that you can get leverage. Like, you might not like going to the gym, but you like being healthy and looking good and having more energy. So I'm going to teach you. You might not like having a show, but you're going to like these 10 benefits that a show can give you. And you may just think a show is a show is a show. I'm going to teach you that it's not. A show is actually a surface level thing that people tune into, but behind the scenes, it can give you 10 massive points of leverage to help you do what I do, which is generate 8 figures in my 20s. So again, I'm going to teach you some really ninja stuff about a show. So back to this. So you want to interview those names, Tony Robbins, Elon Musk, Lewis Howes, and other big people of that category. So did you want to tune in? Do you have something?
No, I wrote some more names down. Mark Cuban, Damon John, Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, Shah Rukh Khan, who's a big actor in India. There's going to be some big names there that Will Smith, Tony Shea. You know, I could keep going.
Which is great. Like, more than half of those names have already been on my show. And what's so cool is, like, I'm literally going to show you one of the biggest reasons why we've been able to get those names. The other ones we just haven't even reached out to because there's, like I said, I've already done 1,000. So there's just only so many. And then here's the big one. I'm going to jump ahead of myself here. So actually, I'll tie it in. We've listed out our dream 100, and you don't have to list out the 100 before we move to the next step, because that just is silly. Like, you know, Onyx got 20 written down. I'm sure he can easily come up with 100. If you're struggling to come up with 100, guys, don't worry about it. Just stop at 20 and go fill the list in later. Start reaching out to the 20. So now that we know who our dream 100 are, and we know that they're going to be a really good person to help us solve the problem for our guests, this is what I look at. I look at two reasons why I want to have a guest on. The number one reason why I want to have a guest on is hopefully because they have good education for our audience to really actually help them. The second reason is selfish. This is for me, but it's also for the audience. They have to be a big name. If they're a big name, then like Elon Musk or Tony Robbins, people are going to tune in just for the name. They don't even care about actually maybe rendering any value or getting anything from it. They're going to tune in just because it's Kim Kardashian, just because it's Elon Musk, because it's such a big name person. People are going to tune in. And I say selfishly for me, because if Onik and me and you, if we can align ourselves, I call it authority alignment, authority alignment. If you can align yourself with a big name authority and do it consistently, you become the next authority. You become the next Ellen DeGeneres, Jay Leno, Joe Rogan, Howard Stern, Oprah Winfrey. Those are all people who built 8, 9, even 10 figure net worths from shows, from doing nothing but interviewing people. And so I think that a show really is the most secret way to getting around other authority figures and having their authority rub off on you. Like, I remember this saying from a little story from Warren Buffett, and he basically had the stockbroker come up to him and said, Warren Buffett, will you teach me all your best stock tips so that I can tell all my stockbroker clients that I got advice from Warren Buffett? And he says, you know what? That would be good, but I'll do you one better. He puts his arm around him and they walk down Wall Street, and all these other brokers are looking at him. They're like, oh my gosh, can you believe Jimmy is with Warren Buffett right now? And they walk down the street. And by the time they get down to the end of the block, Warren says, okay, so I just did you something way better than giving you any advice. And the guy said, what do you mean? What did you just give me? And he says, I just put my arm around you and walked down the street and everybody saw. Now everybody thinks you and I are in cahoots. Everyone thinks you and I must be doing something together. Everyone thinks I must have told you something. Now you can just go and tell them the same advice you would have, but they're all going to think it's way more important because you're with Warren Buffett. And so it's the same thing. Like, one of the reasons why my success has blown up, and I know this for a fact, yes, I'm really good at what I do. And I've also got a lot of A-list celebrity clients. I've interviewed a lot of A-list celebrity guests. I've interviewed a lot of billionaires. And so people see me with those people, and that brings my credibility up. That's even how you introduced me. Mark's interviewed all these people. Mark has A-list clients. Like, and that is what I'm teaching everyone here. A show is the easiest way for you to get implied credibility. What if, you know how people, when they go to these seminars, they take photos with Gary Vaynerchuk and they take photos and they have a lanyard around their neck and they have the backdrop behind them. I know, and they make that their profile photo on LinkedIn. They make that their profile photo on Facebook, right? We've seen that before. And maybe we even did that like 20 years ago when we got started. And so what's funny is people take those photos because they think if they have a photo with Tony Robbins, or they'll even put it in their webinar, like a photo of them at an event with a lanyard on, trying to get credibility that they once took a photo with Tony Robbins at an event. But I know you were at UPW attending his event with a lanyard on. Like, it doesn't really give credibility. What if you sat down in Tony Robbins' living room or on his private jet with him, or at your own studio and interviewed Tony Robbins?
Yeah.
What if Damon John from Shark Tank actually came to you and you interviewed him on your studio like I did when I interviewed Damon John? And so the point is, when you have an actual interview with these people and you can interview them back and forth and you can cut just the right clip to create what everyone else could see as, like, you know, when people, there's so many examples I could give you, but like, I know I'm going to interview Oprah Winfrey someday. I know I'm going to interview these other huge names. And I could ask them one question, Anik, and get them to say one thing back. And I could just cut that. And I could just use that clip right there. And yeah. then the whole world's going to perceive that clip a certain way. So my lesson for everybody is, selfishly, you want to interview big guests because of what you're going to get from that. So how do you actually get those guests, though, is what everybody's wondering. This is how you get the guests. Two things: attention and timing. So now you know, what are the two reasons you want to have a guest on? Number one, they can actually solve a problem for your guests so that your audience tunes in like right now. By the end of this episode, people are going to be like, holy crap, I know exactly what I need to do to blow my brand up. I can't believe Anik got this guy to give this away for free. That's what people are going to be thinking by the end of this. So number one, actually solve a problem. Number two, selfishly, not every guest is going to fall into this category, but selfishly, you want big name guests because it'll make you look more credible. Anik interviewed everybody, all the biggest celebrities and billionaires. Like, now, inevitably, I'm going to perceive Anik as a much higher level person just because how did he get with all the billionaires? How did he interview all the celebrities? And then that's going to elevate your brand. So solve a problem and get big name guests who have credibility. And the second reason you want a big name guest with credibility is because a strategy that I'm going to open loop for later is you want to be able to target their followers on social media. So when you go on Facebook and say, I'd like to show this interview to these people on Facebook, you can run ads and target your audience based on where they live, who they follow. And so if I can see that I can target Tony Robbins' followers, I can target Elon Musk's followers, that's going to be the game changer. Because if I interview Tony Robbins, when I upload it on social media and show it to people, who's the logical audience I want to show it to? Tony Robbins' followers. Yeah. And so, you know, for example, you might not be able to target me or Anik. I don't know if you can or not. I don't know if you go on Facebook and say, target Mark Lack. I don't know if I pop up. But I do know if you target Gary Vaynerchuk, he pops up. I do know if you target Grant Cardone, he pops up. And so I've interviewed those people because I know that I can run that interview to their following. And the reason that you want to do that is because when I follow Gary Vaynerchuk or Grant Cardone or Tony Robbins or Elon Musk or whoever, and I'm scrolling on social media in the endless news feed, and I see Tony Robbins' video or Grant Cardone's video, and I know them, like them, and trust them, I'm going to be way more likely to stop and watch a video of Grant Cardone than I am of maybe you. Because I follow Grant Cardone. Yep. So when I see Grant Cardone, I follow him because I want to see his stuff. And then I find out that Anik is interviewing Grant Cardone, and I watch it way faster, longer than I ever probably would if it was just one of us and not both of us. And so when it's Grant Cardone, when it's Gabby Bernstein, when it's Oprah Winfrey, when it's Lisa Nichols, when it's Les Brown, when it's Robert Kiyosaki, like, people are going to know the celebrity, and they're going to watch it because of the celebrity. So back to my point, that's one of the biggest things. Another reason why you want to make sure you're interviewing a big name guest is because it's very helpful when you go to target the audience. You can show it to their own followers. And the reason you're going to want to do that, I'm getting ahead of myself here, is because you're going to get lower cost per engagement, lower CPMs. So it's going to cost you less money to reach more people because it's a perfect content audience match. You're showing content to Grant Cardone with an interview of Grant Cardone to Grant Cardone followers. So you'll see that the cost to reach those people is way less. So you're going to get way more views for way cheaper, which ties into the strategy that I'm going to get to coming up, which is one of the big aha moments. So the two reasons, though, Anik, is timing and attention. The number one thing is you got to get them attention. So why would Tony Robbins say yes to an interview with you? Why would Elon Musk? Elon Musk said yes to Joe Rogan. He went on Joe Rogan's twice. And he got like 10 million views on each episode just on YouTube. And so why did Elon Musk say yes? He doesn't need that because of the attention. He knows that he's going to get 10 million plus people to watch that interview on Joe Rogan's. So all you got to do is just look at the numbers. Why did he go on Joe Rogan's? They weren't like friends before that. That was the first time they'd ever met. So guess what? He went on there for the 10 million views. Why does Tony Robbins once a year for his book, his Netflix documentary, his charity, his food drive, why does Tony Robbins go on a giant PR tour once a year and go on all the big podcasts and shows for attention? And so the two biggest reasons that celebrities, billionaires, people that you think you could never do anything for, you know what they all want? Attention. And they all want attention at a certain time. They may not want it right now or tomorrow, but 6 months from now or 8 months from now, I can almost guarantee any big celebrity, billionaire, millionaire, thought leader, expert, at some point in the next 12 months, everyone who's still in the game, they all have something they do once a year that's big. A big launch, a big book, a big podcast, a big charity, a big gala, a big donation thing. Once a year, any big name person always has something they're trying to promote, and they'll usually go super hard for a couple weeks or a full month doing a PR tour. So every big name person once a year usually has their timing. Now, you and I, we might be more open and flexible because this is more of what we do, but they don't do that. Elon Musk doesn't just go on podcasts every week. He might do it only if it's strategic and only if it's a huge, huge, huge attention grab and the timing lines up. So you can still get anybody you want. I don't care who you name, we can probably get them. If the timing is right and if the attention, which is really the exchange in value, is large enough. Remember, people will pay for anything. It has nothing to do with the price. It's all about the value. In this case, it's the same thing. Even billionaires and A-list celebrities who are famous will come on your show if the timing is right and if you have a large enough value proposition for the attention that they will get. Make sense?
Yeah, no, so I can already hear me thinking and everyone watching thinking the timing part makes sense, right? All of these guys typically have something coming out. So I have a two-part question. I don't know which one to go with. Okay, how do I know about the timing? So while you were talking, I have 25 names. I don't know what's going on in their lives. How do I know when, Sir Richard Branson is going to be the right time for him? How do I have a clue about that?
So because you and I already chatted, we can assume that everything I tell your team to do for you is the person listening is going to have to do themselves. Like for me, I started by myself with a laptop and a cell phone and just struggled my way up to where I'm at. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's ups and there's downs. You know, you shared your story with me, incredible. Like we all have our ups and downs. I had a laptop and a cell phone and I figured this out. And now these people get to start with like the fresh perspective. So if you want to get a hold of anybody and you want to get the timing right, I know you told me before we started, you're like, I don't want to do any of this. I want my team to do it. So I'm going to tell you this. You're going to get somebody who's their responsibility is going to be to track the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, website, newsletter, opt into their email newsletters, get into their railroad. You know, when you put your ear on the railroad and you can hear things like, if people want to know what I'm doing, follow me on social, opt into my email newsletter, listen to my podcast. Why? Because I'm going to tell you when I have something coming up. It's not like a big reveal like, oh, hey guys, my wife and I have been strategically waiting to tell you we're pregnant. Like, no, it's not that. It's like, no, I got a book coming out, pre-register. I got a charity coming out. I'm raising money for it. Like when they do a big thing, everyone knows about it. And here's the other thing. Reach out to their PR team or their executive assistant and ask who their PR team is or just talk to their executive assistant. So what's another way that I could get a hold of Tony Robbins? Or Grant Cardone, his executive assistant's name is Katie. So if you ever want to know what's going on in Grant Cardone's life, you want to reach out to Katie and send Katie flowers and boxes of chocolates if she likes that and get really good with Katie and say, hey, Katie, can you tell me when Grant Cardone has something where he'd want to do an interview with a million views?
Hey, Mark, how do we figure out who someone's assistant is? Is that LinkedIn and website? Where do you go?
That's where you got to research. Someone's going to be so obvious because they're massive. Like you could probably type in like, who's Elon Musk's right-hand person? And I bet it comes up. Okay. And then I take their name and I type it into LinkedIn. And then I take their name and I do all these other ways to figure out how to find out who they are. And then I reach out to them. And so remember, when I say like reach out to Tony Robbins, I'm not actually meaning reach out to Tony Robbins. I'm meaning reach out to his gatekeepers. Reach out to all the two or three or four layers deep of people who are trying to keep you away from ever getting to him. Those people you want to be buddies with. You want KD, Grant Cardone's assistant, to be there and text you on it. And actually they text your team and they say, hey, guess what? Grant's got a new book 6 months out. So let's schedule that interview 3 months from now. Because these people schedule stuff way out. So you don't want to think in your mind and have the delusion that you're going to interview Tony Robbins next month. You're going to interview Tony Robbins when Tony Robbins is ready. And you want to be way prepared. You want to have reached out. You want to know their executive assistant. You want to know their PR team. You want to be opted in on his newsletter. You want to be following him on all his social accounts. And you want to have people on your team whose full responsibility is to track your Dream 100's list of everything they're doing. Like Russell Brunson talks about in his book, he talks about doing this if you want to get like affiliate partners. You want to opt in and you want to be on all their stuff. It's the same thing. It's just for a show now. You want to track everything they're doing. You want to know what their world looks like. And you want to be months and months ahead. You want to get the insider information from their assistant before they post on their newsletter that they have a book.
Got it. Okay. So we got that. Hunt down, figure out who their gatekeepers are. Now, attention. That's interesting. So I know where you're going with it. So I want to lead you into it. But I know someone thinking right now, like even the Fighting Entrepreneur podcast, I mean, I'm proud of what we've built, but it ain't going to bring Will Smith on the show. A few thousand views that I can drive or 10,000 views I can drive or 20,000. I just don't think I'm going to get Will. One of my dreams, by the way, is to have Will Smith keynote an event of mine. So, you know, we're going to work our way up to that at some point. But so let's say I got them. I got their assistant. There's a book coming out 6 months from now. And here I am. And I'm like, oh, well, I want to get them on my show. You just said they want volume numbers. How can someone who's listening, including myself right now, that doesn't have those numbers, how do we get those numbers?
So real quick, I wanna call what's like called smoothing out like the friction. So smooth out the friction between him saying yes and it being an obvious no. So remind me, I'll answer your first question coming up, but I first want to address like how you could get Will Smith, because that's the point of this conversation, is like the high level dive in. So I wouldn't just maybe go straight for the kill and just try to get Will Smith. I might try to smooth out the friction and I might try to interview maybe his best friend. And I don't know if this is his best friend, but maybe it's Martin Lawrence. And Martin Lawrence might say yes. And maybe Snoop Dogg might say yes. And maybe Mike Tyson might say yes. And you might not even technically have wanted to interview those people, but you did because those three guys are homies of Will Smith. And now you can say, I interviewed your homies, Will Smith. I interviewed your homies, this guy, this guy, and this guy. And Will's going to be like, shoot, you went and interviewed my three homies already? Dang. And then he'll text them, and they'll be like, oh, dude, that Onnit guy, that was a great show. And each one got 1 million views. And now you're 500% more likely, it's a made-up stat, more likely to get Will Smith to come on the show now. Because if somebody wanted to come on my show, you know, people do this all the time. People already do this. They message you, they message me, and they say, hey, we'd love to have Onnit on our show. Let him know we've already had Grant Cardone on and Gary Vee. They name drop other big names already been on. And so, yes, you're going to be able to name drop all the other big names that have been on that are probably around his caliber. That may or may not get him. What I found helps a lot is when you've had on a friend. Because if you can text me and say, yo, he name dropped all these people. How was the show? Did it give you any book sales? Did it drive any traffic? Did it actually? Because if you name drop Gary Vee, I know Gary, but I ain't texting Gary to say, yo, how was that podcast?
Yeah.
But if you tell me that you interviewed the Morrisons, those are my homies. I can message them and say, yo, how was that interview? Did it do anything for you? Because he's telling me to come on for my charity or my book, but I don't know if it's going to do anything. If he can text them as a friend, that's going to increase the likelihood that they're going to say positive things to him. Name dropping only gets you so far, and sometimes it can come off positive or negative depending on how the person receives it. But telling them that their best friend has also been on the show, that always goes over positive. So you don't just want to name drop big names. You want to name drop their friends. And if you know Will Smith's friends, get his friends that are famous on the show first, because they might be easier and they might hang out on Saturday and he might even just mention your name in passing and be like, yo, I was just on this guy's Onyx podcast with 7 million views on the episode and he said he wanted to get you on, bro. And they might be having lunch together and he might bring it up. Like, so that's a really ninja way that I've been able to get big guesses. I say, who's the big guest? And I go, first thing I ask is, who do I know that already has trust with that person? And if I know someone that has, you're only one person removed from everybody or five people removed. So I'm usually one or two people removed from anybody. So ironically, I know who Will Smith's manager was 20, 30 years ago when he got started, ironically enough. So that actually might be an end we should talk about. Remind me of that, actually, now that my brain just thought about that. I know who Will Smith's manager was, and he lives just two houses down the street from him still. So remind me of this conversation. So back to the point. You're one person or two people removed. Me to him, Jeff was his old manager, to Will. So right there, boom, that's already away. So again, you got to think like that. I'm just trying to give people how I think when I'm trying to connect the dots. I don't try to just go straight to the president of the United States. I try to get like three layer. I go to the vice president, and then I go to this person and this one, and I work my way up. So by the time I get there, they're having their wife tell them I got to come on. They're telling their best friend, tell them I got to come on. They're having their parents tell them I got to come on. They're like, okay, look, you got me in a corner, Onyx. Everybody in my family and my best friends tell them I got to come on your show. I'm coming on. And the value and the timing is still there. That's the key. That doesn't replace having the timing or the value proposition. It amplifies it because you could have the timing and the value and they might still say no. So that was just my rant to let you know how I've gotten some of the biggest guests in the world to come on my show. Is I'm one or two. It's like chess.
Even in this example, to be very honest with you, you said you know the manager of Will Smith 20, 30 years ago. Do you know how much I would love to talk to that guy? Like that would be such a fun interview.
He was also Mike Tyson's manager as well.
So it's like interviewing someone who's built some of the biggest name brands and in the like 20, 30 years ago is when Will Smith would have been starting. So, you know, to talk about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air days, like that's where my whole fanship comes from. So it's cool to think about actually those interviews themselves would be super valuable, would be really awesome. And then in exchange, you know, you obviously would be working towards the right direction as well, but still in all of this. So I love that you still mentioned, hey man, you know, I was on this interview, got 3 million views and he wants to interview you. So that little part right there, let's get into that. Like, how do I get 3 Perfect. Million views for, you know, Will Smith's manager? Because typically right now I don't get 3 million views on my episodes.
Perfect. And that's the dangling carrot that I wanted to get to. So I had to answer that though, because I was like, look, there is still a way to get to Will, even if
it's awesome.
Like not. So now that we have that covered, you got to remember, this is all a game of chess. You got to think like 12 moves ahead. Just like a grand chess master, I think they say, thinks 12 moves ahead. A pro chess master thinks like 6 moves ahead. A rookie just thinks about the very first move. I'm going to interview Will Smith. No, you're not. I'm a grand chess master. I'm going to interview Will Smith, but it's going to be on my 12th move. And that's why I'm going to win. And so that's how you got to, you got to look at it.
Absolutely.
So to answer your question, it's so easy that like even just my simple articulation of it is going to go through people, is going to go right over people's heads and they're going to be like, it can't be that easy. It is. And then I'm not only going to tell you how to do it, I'm going to tell you how you can get other people to pay for it so that the whole thing's free. So here we go. Just like you ever heard of Facebook advertising?
Yeah.
Not to you, your audience, right?
Yeah.
So you ever heard of Facebook advertising, Instagram advertising, Google ads, YouTube ads, right? Okay. You get the point. You ever seen a Super Bowl commercial? You ever seen a television commercial, a radio commercial? Cool. So just like you can pay these distribution networks and ad networks like Facebook, we'll use social media as the example. You can pay Facebook to run an ad to your product or your service. And you can also pay Facebook to show anyone you want with the same complexities of targeting. You can show anybody your content, or in this case, your interview. I could upload my green smoothie right here that I drink every day after I work out. I could upload that as a video of me making that recipe, and then I could just show 1 million people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people my smoothie. So, you know, one of my examples that I told you, which was funny, was how I made over 2 million views on a video of a banana.
Yeah.
And to prelude for people, I got a video of a banana, 113,000 views, in less than 24 hours. So if you're listening and you're like, I would love 100,000 views on my video in the next 24 hours, I got good news for you. I can do it with a piece of fruit. I can do it for you. More importantly, you can do it for yourself. It's so easy that all you do is you upload, you have a Facebook page or a YouTube channel or an Instagram account. I say those because those are my three favorite platforms to do this on. So you can, if not a Facebook profile where you can get friend requests, you create a Facebook page. And that Facebook page could be your name as a personal brand. It could be Onyx and Gall. It could be Mark Lack. Or it could be the name of your show. It could be Business Rockstars, or it could be your show. So you could choose, right? Or you have both. You have like the Onyx Facebook page and the podcast Facebook page. And maybe he uploads both episodes. Maybe he uploads the short 60-second teaser on his page here. And then he drives them over to his full actual podcast page here. So he uploads the episode on his podcast page on Facebook. And what Facebook will say when you have your account there is you can plug in your credit card and it'll say boost post. And you can boost the post is what it's called. You don't even have to go fancy and go into Facebook Ads Manager, which for some people might be confusing. For somebody like Onyx, who's a pro at this, and his team, this is going to be a cakewalk. But you go, for the person listening who's like, I want the basics, I'm telling you, you can do it from your phone. The video that got 100,000 views, 113,000 views in less than 24 hours of a banana, I filmed from my phone, I created the Facebook page from my phone, and I boosted and paid for it from my phone. I did the whole thing from my phone. So I'm telling you how to do this all from your phone. But obviously, if you did an interview, like what I'm going to do, when you came on my show, Onyx, I'm going to upload that on my Facebook page. I may do the full interview, or I may chop it down into like the best 5-minute sizzle clip, because people don't go on Facebook to watch hour-long podcasts. They go on YouTube for that. So I might cut the hour that we did down into 5 minutes and put that on my Facebook page. And then I might put a couple $100 promoting that. And I'll look, I know you've spent, and I'm giving you my logical thinking, I know you've spent a lot of money. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to type on Facebook, can I show my interview of me and Onyx to Onyx Singhal's following? And if you pop up, I don't know how they decide this, but if you pop up because you're verified and have a million followers, I don't know if that's the metric or not. It seems to be, but maybe not. If you do pop up, I'm obviously going to pay to show our interview to your followers. If you don't pop up, here's the next level thinking. Who does Onyx pay to show his stuff to? And I know you spend a lot of money showing your videos to Robert Kiyosaki's following, and I already know Robert Kiyosaki's following is targetable on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. So I could run your video with me on YouTube over Robert Kiyosaki's YouTube channel. And a lot of those people might recognize you, especially if I cut the intro where I say, here's Onyx Singhal, who's with Robert Kiyosaki, and I show you with Robert Kiyosaki, and then I spin it into you and me doing an interview. And I run that over Robert Kiyosaki's channel just for like 60 seconds to 2 minutes of the best, most educational stuff. And then it drives you to go and watch the full thing and subscribe. Or on Facebook, in this case, I could do the same thing. I could upload a 5-minute video targeting whoever I choose and then put a couple $100 or a couple $1,000 on it and get it however many views that I want. And then I could tell people in the video at the lower thirds ticker right here, like ESPN does, I could have it just say, the full episode is on YouTube at markyoutubechannel.com, like whatever, right? Sure. And so that's kind of the simple methodology behind it is so here it is. You get the views by uploading it on YouTube or Facebook or Instagram and spending money, investing money to get eyeballs on it. So the metric is about $5,000 to $10,000 to get 1 million views, not impressions, views. So to get 1 million views is going to be about $5,000 to $10,000. Now that's a big delta. So what is the big difference? The difference between $5,000 and $10,000 is, did people like the video or did they not? Because I've gotten 1 million views before for $2,000, and I've had clients of mine get 100 million views before for $75. $75. And that's because the video went viral. The video went viral. So there's a big difference of what could happen, but as a safe metric to just go in and be like, what is like investing in a bond or a CD? It's like going to give me a 1% or 2% return forever. It's pretty much guaranteed it's pretty much guaranteed that it's $5,000 to $10,000 to get 1 million views. If it's less, that might have been because you either did a very short video, which is going to increase average watch time KPIs, which is going to tell the algorithm lots of people like this, show it to more people. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense, yeah.
So if I upload a 6-second video, because the average watch time is 6 seconds. The average watch time on Facebook is 6 seconds.
Okay.
So with that being said, if I upload a 6-second video, I know the average person is going to watch 100% of it. That's going to tell the algorithm people like this video because they watch 100% of it, and then it's going to show it to more people. So I could probably get 1 million views on a video for $400, but it would have to be a 6-second clip of Anik and Elon Musk. It would be you guys like high-fiving, hey! And that would be like for $400 targeting Elon Musk's followers, you would get 1 million views on a little boomerang of you and Elon high-fiving for a 6-second loop. That would get like 1 million views for, and then you could use that if you wanted to get Ninja as a retargeting ad. Everyone who watched 100% of the 6-second video of you and Elon high-fiving then immediately gets retargeted to the full interview. So that would be a really cheap and effective way to get 1 million Elon Musk followers to first see you guys high-fiving together or whatever. It could be like a photo of you guys. It could be one quick clip of Elon laughing and him being like, ha ha, because you made him laugh. And you just loop that and make it 6 seconds and say, want to watch an interview that made Elon Musk crack up? And now for $400, 1 million Elon Musk followers see that. And just because they saw it, now you can retarget them with the full interview, which may be a good strategy, it may not. I'm just giving you ideas of logical thinking and why 400 views could cost, could be 1 million, $400 could be 1 million views, and why $10,000 could be the same 1 million views, because the length of the video is a big difference. If you upload the full 1 hour interview and the average watch time is 30 seconds, which would be amazing, crazy, but that would be amazing. If 30 seconds watch time on an hour long video, that's terrible. That's like the average person gets up in the middle of the Avengers movie and walks out in 30 seconds and leaves. That would not be good. And so the algorithm is doing its best job. So on Facebook, just know it's very stupid to upload the full 1 hour video most of the time because it's going to cost you so much money to get people to see it. And you don't need them to see the hour. You just need them to know that Anik uploads amazing snippets of interviews. If I want to watch all of them, I go to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube. And so Facebook and Instagram should be where you upload the snippet, 3-minute, 5-minute sizzle clip of it. Or my favorite, if you really want to go pro level, is you take the hour-long interview of you and Tony Robbins and you chop out the 5 best 60-second clips or 30-second clips and you test those. One is Tony talking about business. One is Tony talking about the pandemic. One is Tony talking about mindset. One is Tony talking about networking. One is Tony talking about how amazing you are as an interviewer. And you have those 5 snippets and you test those to his audience and you see which one performs better and which one performs worse. And then you set it and forget it. My favorite thing is once I find the winning piece of content and the winning audience, then I can put it for $1,000 for 1 year. And that's $3 a day and I can just set it and forget it. And every day for the next year, I'll just spend $3 a day and get 1,000 views every single day. Or if you wanted to just like bazooka, because maybe you promised the guest 1 million views in 7 days, then you got to drop $5,000 to $10,000 on the video in 7 days. So like if you reached out to Tony Robbins and said, Tony has this thing coming out next week, we'll do the podcast, and you say, I'll guarantee 2 million views. Okay. You figure out, is it going to be a combination between YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram? So you get 500,000, 700,000, 900,000, you add those up and it's 2 million? Or is it going to all be on Facebook? So that's where you have to think, like, how are you going to guarantee the 2 million? Is it going to be all on one video? Is it going to be split across multiple different videos? And then from there, if it's 2 million views, right off the bat, you know it's going to cost you $10,000 to $20,000. Woo, that's a big chunk of money to just do an interview with Tony Robbins. But what if somebody else would pay for the whole thing? So now we've addressed, and I'll let you answer any questions to fill in the gaps if I left something out. Now we've addressed, you can reach out to Tony, find out in his schedule in 6 months from now when the best time is, and the attention value prop that you promised Tony Robbins and his PR team and his assistant is, now that I know 6 months from now Tony Robbins is willing to do an interview because that's the right timing, now the value proposition is, I promise to give Tony Robbins 2 million views. And rather than that being some arbitrary number, I come up with that number for each individual uniquely by looking at their social media and identifying which social network are they the biggest on. Some people are super small on Twitter, but huge on YouTube. Some people are huge on Instagram, but small on everywhere else. And so I find their biggest platform that they get all their engagement on. And then I look and I see how much do they get as their highest views on that platform. So if you're small on every platform, but you're massive on YouTube, Tony Robbins gets 1 million views on every video on YouTube. 1 million views is what his highest video is, like normal. That's not going to impress him to offer him 1 million views. Maybe. I don't want to risk getting a no and then come back and say 2 million because now you sound like a fraud. Oh, you can just jump. You can guarantee 1 million. I said no. Now you can guarantee 2 million. That seems awfully weird. So I always start at a number that I just know has got to be a yes. I know this number. I don't go, let me ask if Tony can do it for 100,000. No. How about 500,000? No. No. Just start at the top. If you're not, what's my absolute number I'm willing to pay for? And if they say no, then I just go, must not have been big enough. Something must have been wrong. Something didn't work. I'll come back at the next cycle of timing then. Mm-hmm. So that's how I come up. So people don't just think it's an arbitrary number I pull out of the sky. That's the formula for identifying it. So if you know that I'm used to getting 100,000 views on everything, then you should offer me like 200,000 because then I'll think that's big. So that's how you come up with the number. That's how you come up with the timing. That's how you can guarantee any number of views that's going to be exciting for them as a value proposition for the attention they're willing to exchange their time for. And then you reach out and say, I'll guarantee 1 million or 2 million views in this case. And then you know, okay, timing's right. Tony gets 1 million, so I have to promise 2 million. Their team says yes. You now got the time. You got the yes. And now you think in your head, crap, I got the interview with Tony Robbins, Mark's formula worked, but it's going to cost me $10,000 to $20,000. So now I'm going to leave it at that, and then we'll talk about how you can get other people to pay for it, and we'll talk about other ways that even if you chose to pay for it, you could still make it work because of the process that we've talked about.
Sure. Yeah, no, I don't have any questions. You're doing a great job, man. The question is, how do I get someone else to pay for it?
Okay. So the way that you get somebody else to pay for it is – you identify if Tony Robbins is a big enough name, and that's actually, I guess, a subset under another reason why having big names is helpful. You might have the smartest guy in the world on, but what I'm about to say may not work if you only have a smart guy on that nobody knows. So having a really big name celebrity guest on is also going to really be important to what I'm about to say. And not every episode, by the way, has to have a celebrity on. And not every episode has to do what I'm about to say. You can strategically have like 10% of your episodes be absolute smashing celebrity million view videos. And then you can have a couple that just get 10,000 views. Woo! They don't all have to be smashing celebrity like videos. Not all of mine are. I've done 1,000. Trust me, only like maybe 30 of them have been billionaires and actual A-list celebrities. The others have been thought leaders and experts and influencers and millionaires, which are very impressive people, but they're not billionaires or A-list celebrities. So I'm looking at like whatever the math is, 3% of my interviews have been billionaires and celebrities. The rest have been very successful top achievers and thought leaders. And I've only done what I'm saying to some of the interviews, the big ones. The other ones have just happened because people want to be on a show. I don't even have to guarantee anything. So here's how you get people to pay for it. Now that you've got an interview with Tony Robbins, Anik took what we just said, maybe you listening, you took what we just said, and you got Tony Robbins, the person that you were like, oh my gosh, it would be so incredible if I can interview Will Smith, Tony Robbins. Great, we just got you Tony. You got him 2 million views at the right timing. Guess what? The $10,000 to $20,000 you're either going to have to pick up or someone else will. So who's the someone else? Other people's money. I call it OPA. And I could share my, can I share my screen?
Sure. Yeah. And if you're listening to the audio, then just know that you can go to YouTube and catch the video of this. But yeah, absolutely.
And I'm gonna articulate it in a way where nobody's going to miss anything. I just feel sometimes the visuals can help. So over here, we've talked about OPA, other people's authority. You've got your Dream 100 listed out. Right now, we're talking about Tony Robbins and you've got your show. Now we're going to talk about leveraging other people's money. So you went over here, you reached out to Tony, you found the right timing, you offered Tony 2 million views. Boom. We got Tony Robbins, he's agreed. Now you're either going to have to pick up the 10 or 20,000 or you can get a sponsor to do it. So now you figure, okay, Tony Robbins is super well known. He's worked with some of the biggest companies on the planet. He's got lots of business owners that follow him. So what sponsors might be interested in having their company be the sponsor on just the interview of Tony Robbins that gets 2 million views, which is probably going to be small business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. So because Tony Robbins was the guy that helped the founder of Salesforce grow to a multi-hundred billion dollar company, market cap on the stock market, perhaps Salesforce would be a great sponsor to reach out to, because Salesforce, their employees might not know Tony, but if you were to get high enough up, Salesforce might say that they'd be a good fit. Maybe FedEx, maybe LegalZoom, maybe other software providers that are interested. So think, okay, if I've got Tony Robbins, a big celebrity, and the audience is going to be business owners and aspiring business owners, what companies already, this is the key, what companies already pay to be in front of these people? What companies already pay to be in front of these people? And they don't do it with Tony Robbins' secret subliminal endorsement because it's on the interview. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So think through. You've got the celebrity and you've got the views. Sponsors, big companies, they already pay on what's called like a CPM basis, cost per, you know, 1,000 views. They already pay for these impressions. So all you have to do is reach out to companies. I recommend going big, like $100 million companies, billion-dollar companies, and there's a lot of them. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of companies that fall into that category of 100 million to a billion plus in annual revenue. And those are the companies who just frivolously drop $5 million on it, not $100 million, but the billion-dollar companies. They drop $5 million on a Super Bowl commercial with no attribution, no clue if the $5 million Super Bowl commercial is paying them back anything at all. So these companies will drop $5 million just because they'll get 100 million eyeballs to see them. Well, you're offering 2 million and you only want 20,000 bucks.
So question, okay, Salesforce. Who do I reach out to at Salesforce?
So I'm assuming that your company's not in a position where you have what's called a full-time sponsorship department or division or person in the company. Not you, but just in general. It just doesn't make sense to have that unless you decide that this is something that you want to pursue. And so maybe the same person who's, you know, we'll say right here, this is somebody on Onyx team, and maybe this same exact person that he has track all the 100s is also the same person that he has track down all of the sponsors. So maybe you just have one person who you pay whatever you think is fair. Their full-time job now is not only to track and monitor all the Dream 100s, it's also to reach out on your behalf with scripts that I can provide you of how to reach out. And then they're also the person who's reaching out and tracking down sponsors. So now you could hire somebody for $4,000, $5,000 a month. And if that's steep, then pay them less. Get whatever you can for the talent. And now now you have a full-time person in your podcast. They're reaching out to the Dream 100. They're reaching out to here and they're monitoring all of it.
I think my question, what I meant more was like, so Salesforce, I go to their website.
How do you reach out? Yeah. So
like, yeah, who at Salesforce do I talk to?
You talk to the sponsorship division.
Okay. You can call their main number and be like, I want to talk to the sponsorship division.
Some people call it different things. Some people will call it the affiliate division, the marketing division, the advertising division. Some people call it the social media division. That sometimes actually is the division you want to talk to. So it's different. Like, I can call yours up, and if I said, hey, can I talk to the sponsorship division? You might be like, dude, we don't have that. But if I was like, well, then who would be the person that I should talk to get 2 million views on your product? Yeah. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Everyone might call that person something different, but there is always somebody that needs to be the person to talk to when you say, well, who's the person to talk to if I want 2 million views to talk about buying LegalZoom's product? Let me connect you with the CMO because we're a small business. Okay. Somebody always wants to know. There's always somebody for that. So you have to reach out. It's tough to say the name because it's different. If the company's really big, you might be able to pull up their org chart and see all the top executives and what positions and divisions they have if they're really big. But for the most part, my recommendation to keep things simple is to just go to their website, reach out to contact or support, and say, hey, can I talk to your sponsorship, advertising, or social media division in regards to getting lots of attention and to get you guys to be like an exclusive sponsor for an episode that we have or a TV show that we have.
Okay, cool. So let's take a quick pivot because we're getting to the top of the hour. What's that?
I was going to say, these are the people that if they're running a commercial on radio, on television, on social media, they're already doing this. It's just not on your show. And so it's not like I'm telling you to do something that's not already happening. These companies are already paying. Like I told you, we've had FedEx and LegalZoom pay us $20,000 a month to be an exclusive sponsor on our show to get a certain amount of interviews. And then I'll say, hey, real quick, as a quick message from our sponsors, if you're a small business and you're looking to ship things around the world, you want it to be there on time and at an affordable rate, make sure you guys go to FedEx.com and use promo code BR for Business Rockstars and you'll save 20% on your next order. And I'll either say it or I'll say, we'll be right back after a quick message from our sponsor. And then it goes boom, boom, boom. And then it plays their commercial that they gave us. And then it comes back and I go, all right, we're back. You guys, make sure you go check out FedEx. They're an incredible business. You guys need to be using promo code BR.
So question about that. Let's say we take that 3-minute clip, right? So we have a one-hour podcast with Will Smith.
Yep.
And I convince FedEx. FedEx is like, yeah, I'll pay. Here's 20 grand. Get Will Smith up to whatever, 2 million views or whatever.
Yep.
I decide to take a 3-minute clip of that interview, pop it up on Facebook, and that's going to count towards the 2 million views I promised. So that's a 3-minute clip.
You would then have to add the interview. Depending, it's all about how you negotiated it. How did you set it up, right? So if you said, like when we do a lot of the times, we will do it because we have an actual TV show with an actual studio that's on Amazon Prime and it's on airplanes. I've brought it to a different level. So like they just know theirs is going to be in a 25-minute episode. Our episodes are shorter. We'll be like in a 25-minute episode and it's going to be right in the middle. And they're going to get that prime time spot right in the middle. Right at an open hook, right when I'm about to ask the most prominent question, I'll say, all right, Tony Robbins, now I want you to tell us something you've never told anybody before. But before we do, and I look over the camera, we'll be right back after a quick message from our sponsor. So we'll open hook it right in the middle. So
you wouldn't put it in the 3-minute video necessarily that's getting syndicated.
If you promised that that was going to be part of the 2 million view package, because if they're paying you money, you got to give them what you said. So you either got to put 2 million views on one full episode or you can put it on the back of every single snippet, but then they're technically getting more for their money because now they're getting a little bit on every single one. So you know it's being watched versus on the full thing. It might not be watched if everyone doesn't watch the full thing or get to the middle.
On the video itself, would you put brought to you by a little logo of FedEx? Because isn't that also kind of spew some credibility over?
Exactly. So there's so many ways we've done it. Sometimes we'll do it. And so one sponsor might just pay us $5,000 for an episode. And all we do is put it on the TVs behind me. You've seen my studio before, I think. We have 3 televisions behind us in the studio. It might just be on the TVs. I don't even mention it. You'll just see DocuSign. You know DocuSign?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the signature company. You'll just see DocuSign on the TV. I never even mentioned the company. It's just on the TVs behind me. But the whole time I'm like, this is Business Rockstars and I'm interviewing Kevin O'Leary. And you'll see that interview has DocuSign on the TVs. So there's a lot of, you can put it on the lower third. You can say it. You can play the commercial.
All right, so,
there's so many different ways.
So Mark, I want to pivot you real quick because we are at the top of the hour, but I have one big question that's still remaining. And so I want to wrap this up with this question. Let's just say for a minute, I'm lazy. I don't want to talk to FedEx and DocuSign and all these people. Neither do I want to have a team member doing it. You know, for me, and I know this isn't going to apply for a lot of people watching, or it might. Let's just say I'm going to go ahead and spend that 20 grand myself, get it up to 2 million views. You said there was another strategy. There was a way I could just pay for it myself. What do I do to just pay for that myself?
So there's a lot of things. Number one, everybody, this is the really cool part about being on social media. And this is the same thing you could do if a sponsor pays for it. Even if a sponsor pays for it, you can still do this. But if you pay for it yourself, you definitely want to do this, is you want to set a pixel on the video, just like you would set up a pixel on any ad so that people who saw your video could be retargeted and see more of your ads. Because we all know most people don't take action on the first time. They do it on the 12th time or 20th time. So when they see your interview, you put a pixel on it. So now you set the parameters. I like to do 3 plays. So if somebody's watched 10%, 20%, 50% of my video, then I will retarget them with anything that I want. Usually I show them a sequence and series of more interview content. And then at some point, 3 to 5 to 10 pieces of content in, you will then see one of my ads. But it's quick. It's like boom, 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 boom. Like within seeing my first interview, within a few days, you're probably going to be seeing my ads coming after you, being like, hey, what's up? It's Mark Lack. You probably recognize me from my show, Business Rockstars. And that's the prelude. Hey, what's up? It's Mark Lack. You probably recognize me from my show, Business Rockstars, where I've interviewed this person, this person, this person, this person. And what I've learned is that having a personal brand is really important. I want to invite you over to my webinar where I teach you the 7 steps to grow your online business. And so it's like, it's the perfect tee up. You've seen me interviewing all these big celebrities. And then when you see my ad, I remind you and show you clips of me interviewing all those celebrities and then tell you what I've learned from those celebrities on my free training. Just like I've seen you do, you've done such an amazing job at this, which is why I'm so excited behind the scenes to help you keep blowing up your show. This is a little behind the scenes to show people some of the things that are going to help, but you would retarget people who watched it. That's one. The next one is, which is really hard for most people to really just swallow this big pill, but it's the long-term value of a brand. The long-term value of a brand. I remember somebody told me the analogy of planting seeds of hay versus planting seeds of apple trees. If you plant seeds of hay, the hay is going to grow within 90 days and it can be consumed or it can be used. But every 90 days, you got to replant seeds of hay, and every 90 days you'll get hay, but you're constantly having to do these little short-term things. If you plant seeds of an apple tree, it takes 5 years before the apple tree grows and provides fruit. But after that, the apple tree provides fruit forever. And so a TV show builds your brand equity that is something that's so hard to tangibly quantify because of a lot of variables. But for me and for you and for anybody listening, if you really build a brand long-term, a show is one of the best ways to do that. And so that's going to get you opportunities. Another thing is, on this slide, it'll take me 10 seconds. I'll just read it. I don't even have to actually do it. Brand recognition, SEO, which is search engine optimization. It helps increase your brand, your name, your company with other celebrities. It helps you turn every episode into a blog. So every episode you do can be turned into a blog. It helps you take long form content from an interview, chop it up into short little snippet clips. So you always have epic, high level authority alignment, valuable interviews for your social media platforms to repurpose on every network. It helps you get high paid speaking gigs because after people see that you're the go-to person on your subject and interviewed all the biggest go-to people, you get more speaking opportunities. You get invited on more people's podcasts, which grows your brand as well. It's the best way I've found to be able to network with high level people, because most people don't just want to sit down and talk to you, but they will for an interview. It's a great way to get sponsors. It's a great way to get partners and affiliates. It really helps position you and your brand as the preeminent authority and leader in your space. And it's a great way to provide nurturing for every single person throughout your community of buyers, customers, prospects, and partners, because now every single day or week they can tune in and they can get rendered value from you, which provides goodwill, builds your trust and rapport with your audience. And over time, once again, it feeds back into the whole loop. So 10 points of leverage for your show, which regardless of if you do the sponsorship strategy and get somebody else to pay for it, you don't have to. I only do it strategically on some interviews. The rest I pay for myself because, you know, I just want to keep it in-house. And then sometimes I'll be like, yo, I'm going to get 10 million views. I'm not trying to drop 100 grand on that. So I'm going to go get a sponsor.
Wow. That was an action-packed finale there. I think everyone's going to have to listen and maybe slow it down a little bit. That's a lot.
That's the teaser. You take the end and you play it in the beginning and then it cuts.
Yeah, that was awesome, man. Mark, tremendous stuff. Definitely something for me to really chew on, because you could totally see how that strategy, it's funny. I'm more interested in getting the logo shown 2 million times, right? The Fighting Entrepreneur, because there's going to be certain level of bleed from that into people saying, what the heck is this? And then going and Googling it, looking it up. And, you know, a certain percentage of that will then become a regular listener. And then you just get the word out. So there's so many ancillary benefits. You interview 10 of these big celebrities, at least one or two of them might actually become friends and someone that you kind of keep up with or someone you recognize somewhere. It's like you do enough of this, it can really escalate and become multiple things. That's why I was like, for me personally, I wouldn't even mind paying for some of this out of my own pocket because I feel like the benefits are just so huge. Having said that, Mark, I want to wrap things up. Thank you so much for being here, man. It was a powerful session. I want you to throw out a URL, you know, throw something out. How can people follow you, get to know you, learn more about this strategy? I know that you have some training around the brand building strategy. How can people learn it?
Yeah, man. So whether you want to see some of my interviews on my show, Business Rockstars, whether you want to follow me on social media, whether you want to just reach out, or whether you want to get tons of free resources and trainings, all of that is at shortenthegap.com. That's shortenthegap.com.
Love it. All right. Go to shortenthegap.com, look up Business Rockstars, or just look up Mark Lack and follow him on all the different social media outlets. Lots of amazing, very unique, as you can see, a unique angle, unique approach, something you don't hear every day. But definitely something that can be done. It's a matter of, look, every time we're on this podcast, I share with you multiple ways that you can make a ton of money. And a lot of these strategies, all of them work. It's a matter of you working them, right? It's not going to fall in your lap. You want to go out there and you want to do this, put in the work. But the whole way of doing it is laid out right in front of you. So with that said, thank you so much for listening today. Make sure you've left us a review at onicpodcast.com. Join us at learn.com. And if you're watching on YouTube right now, click subscribe, leave Mark a comment below, click the thumbs up icon, click the bell icon, so you can follow all of the amazing content that we put out here through Learn. And of course, through myself, Onyx Singhal. Hey, we might be in a lockdown right now, or we might be dealing with this pandemic, but that is no excuse for us to not go out there and fight for our dreams every day. Go out there, make it happen, do what you need to do, and always remember that it's never too late to make your dreams come true. When life pushes you, stand straight, smile, and push it the heck back. This is Onyx Singhal signing off. I'll see you on the next Fighting Entrepreneur podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Onyx Singhal.